Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. At the beginning of our Lenten journey a few weeks ago, I offered a few things for us to ponder during this season. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And in the weeks since the outbreak of war in Europe, it could be that these questions have taken on new urgency and poignancy. For example, in our Tuesday night Lenten program, we have found ourselves deep in conversation about things like courage, defiance, lamentation, fear, and faith. And it's almost always been in the context of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It has surprised me, although it really shouldn't have, it surprised me how deep our discussions have been able to go in just 90 short minutes on a Tuesday evening. It is evident that there is hunger to find God in the midst of these anxious days. There is hunger to make meaning of this moment. So it may come as a surprise in the context of this very serious spiritual hunger to come to the fifth Sunday in Lent, to the cusp of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, to find ourselves at a feast, at a party. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Until now, I've overlooked this detail. But it offers important context as we engage with this story. Jesus has raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, restoring him to his family and his community. So just imagine how momentous this must be and exciting for everyone. The joyful energy around Bethany would be compounded and mixed with the anticipation as well of the coming Passover festival, a celebration of deliverance and liberation. The home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary is filled with joy and laughter, the smell of roasting meat, fresh bread, and good wine. But the joy is tempered. These are dangerous days for Jesus and his followers. The shadow of empire looms and lurks everywhere, and what Jesus has done by raising Lazarus has drawn notice in the halls of power. The temple authorities are worried that Rome is going to interfere. And so at a meeting of the council, they had said, "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy places and our nation." And so they plotted to kill Jesus and Lazarus as well. The family and the friends gathered in Bethany may be unaware of the council's exact plans, but they know that Jesus' actions, teaching, and reputation have made enemies as well as followers. So, while there is joy in Bethany, there is also anxiety. The chatter of friends and the scents of food are mingled with the intertwined thoughts of life and death. And it is into this scene that Mary enters, carrying a pound of perfume made of nard worth a year's wages. She puts the container down beside Jesus. She takes off her head covering. She unbinds her hair and pours the oil on his feet. And almost instantly, that earthy, mossy, musky scent overwhelms the smells of cooking and drinking and the warm bodies gathered close in the room. Everyone focuses on Mary and Jesus as she gently wipes his feet with her hair. No one speaks. What is there to say in the presence of such an outrageous gesture? Unlike other gospel versions of this story, and it's in all the gospels, she is not weeping. She is grateful. This intimate and prodigious gesture is a gift to the one who restored her brother to life. It is also an acknowledgement of the risk, the cost, and the joy of the inbreaking kingdom. Jesus acknowledges that her action foreshadows his death, and by extension, it anticipates the resurrection that it will follow, because for us, death and resurrection are inextricably linked. In a single act of gratitude, generosity, and intimacy, Mary has here articulated the shape of the dream of God. In contrast to Mary's actions, we have Judas's words. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Now let's set aside the evangelist's parenthetical comments about Judas's dishonesty. Judas doesn't have to be a thief to have missed the point of what Mary has done. As a matter of fact, if someone besides Judas had made that comment, even today, we might well agree with them. But there is more here than a call to charitable giving. Mary's actions, Judas's rebuke of her, and Jesus's response are an invitation to engage with the questions that I mentioned at the beginning. What does it mean to be human? To be a child of God? To be a follower of Jesus? Judas, like Oscar Wilde's cynic, might be said to know the price of everything and the value of nothing. We see examples of this every day. For example, climate change is drowning and burning the most vulnerable people and creatures on this planet because the least vulnerable of us don't want to pay the price of saving and repairing what God has created and called good. Or, for example, the news that this week Congress finally passed a law making lynching a federal crime after over 200 failed attempts. Because for over a century, bigotry and political self-interest outweighed the value of black children of God. Or the fact that Ukrainian hospitals, shelters, and apartment blocks are being bombed because an egotistical despot knows the price of his yachts but places zero value on the lives of children and families. Yes, we know what it looks like to know the price of everything and the value of nothing. Judas's dismissal of Mary is symptomatic of a vision of the world that is actually not vision. It is blindness to the reality of God's dream for creation. Judas is blind to the deeper truth that God's economy does not dispense charity. It shares bounty. Look at it spatially. There's a difference between a vertical dynamic of helping people, wherein the privileged, supposedly the greater ones, reach downward to offer to the so-called least of these, as opposed to a circular dynamic of serving, wherein all of God's children listen to and learn and offer to one another, receiving and giving from a stance of mutual vulnerability. This circle is the shape of God. It's the shape of the dream of God. When Jesus says, "You will always have the poor with you," we are challenged to hear particular emphasis on the word "with." Mary's actions of gratitude, generosity, and yes, intimacy toward Jesus are a call to be in relationship with those who have been economically or socially marginalized, to see them anew as valued children of God, not as occasional recipients of bounty dispensed according to the dictates of political and economic expediency. Mary understands what Judas does not, that to live into the image and likeness of God is to know that the cycles of life and death, joy and suffering, receiving and giving are all part of what it means to be human and a child of God. It is to glimpse resurrection as an ever-present invitation to abundant life. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we all lived into Mary's vision? Can you imagine how different our planet, our relationships, our politics would look if we valued our interdependence over self-interest? Our first reaction is to think it's a pipe dream. But if we really believe it's a pipe dream, then why are we here today? On Ash Wednesday, a few weeks ago, we acknowledged that God alone is our source and our end. We also acknowledged our need for repentance, our deafness to God's call to serve, our self-indulgent appetites and ways, our exploitation of other people, our blindness and indifference to human suffering, injustice and cruelty, our seeing the price of everything and the value of nothing. It may seem counterintuitive, but to repent is to hope. To repent is to hope. It is to know deep down that God's dream is real, and that with God's help as followers of Jesus, we can accept with joy God's invitation and challenge into the vision of a more interdependent, less fearful world. This is why we're here. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Amen.